You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. This week, we're going to be checking in with some reporters from around the world to learn more about the effect coronavirus has had on people globally. And the reporters we're talking to, well, they have something in common. They are or were affiliated with KALW. We'll start today with Emma Nobel, an Australian reporter who spent a summer here in the KALW newsroom with us. Now, Australia has a population of about 25.5 million people. That's half the population of California. As of today, there are more than 5,700 cases of confirmed COVID-19. I called up Emma on Skype to ask how Australia's coping with the crisis. First, I asked her about a scenario they have going on that's familiar to us here in California. Emma, let's start with something that a lot of people in the Bay Area will relate to. There was a Princess cruise ship that docked in Sydney Harbour. Can you tell us about that?
This ship called the Ruby Princess, which has been linked to something like more than 600 cases of COVID-19. But for some reason, it was allowed to dock and, you know, people were allowed off the ship. So almost 3,000 passengers, you know, were allowed off and...
And taken where?
Well, you know, they were told to go home and to stay home, I guess, but they weren't taken anywhere. They were just let off on the street. So, you know, we've had 7 people who have died from that ship. You know, there have been... Yeah, there have been 9 crew members from the ship that have tested positive. It's just, it boggles the mind. But we know that the Health Department of New South Wales have been, you know, trying to rein that in and kind of saying, you know, that they did what they thought was best. They did what they thought was right. And it's just it's just incredible to sort of see those cases now out community.
About when did this start really picking up for where you are for Australia as a news item for you to cover?
I think it wasn't until really late. You know, it was around February was when we were really starting to sort of take notice of it. I think in January, you know, because of the summer that we've had with the bushfires, that was still what we were really kind of focusing on. And this COVID-19 thing seemed like something on the really far distant horizon. You know, it was somewhere in China. We weren't really sure what it was. And then it started going out from China and then, you know, it started going into Europe. And suddenly it seemed like this thing that was so far on the horizon was right here with us, and actually the bushfires were going to pale in comparison. But again, like, we've been so late to the party because, you know, up until a few weeks ago, we were seeing these incredible scenes on Bondi Beach in Sydney where people were sunbathing. This was on March 21st, I think, that weekend. You know, people were sunbathing and swimming and it seemed like they were without a care in the world. And that was just a few weeks ago. And I think that everyone came down pretty hard on that afterwards to be like, no, this isn't just like something that you can just kind of go on holiday from. Like, it's really serious and it's everyone's responsibility.
I'm wondering what kind of directives had you had in your state, but also for the rest of the country?
So the directives have been so all over the place. It's been so confusing and just so strange, you know, how quickly things have changed. Like, I never thought that people would be fighting over toilet paper in the supermarket, but
Oh, you have that too, huh?
Yeah. You guys have had it too in the Bay Area?
Oh, yes. It's everywhere. The hoarding.
Yeah, the hoarding. So now, you know, they're really strictly limiting, you know, how much, you know, things like rice, pasta, anything canned, tomatoes or beans that you can sort of take. There's security guards at the supermarket where they haven't been before. Like, that's just never been a thing. Like, sometimes they'll patrol the aisles. I haven't been to the supermarket, though, actually. I haven't left the house in, I think, 8 days now.
So, you know, millions have filed for unemployment here in the U.S. Small businesses have shut down. There's a stimulus coming from the federal government. People are going to get checks. I'm wondering, with the Australian system, if something like that is going to happen. Or like, what is the labor situation in Australia in terms of when a catastrophe happens?
Yeah, I think the thing that's come out of this is how vulnerable, I guess, our casualized workforce is to like a really big shake like this. I know that, you know, thousands of people here have lost their jobs, you know, especially in retail and hospitality, which are overwhelmingly casualized. We've seen, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook, there have been some incredible like lines, people lining up outside Centrelink, which is like our national welfare service. And, you know, the stories that have come out of there, you know, people who have never been out of a job really forced into the situation. And actually the MyGov site, which is where you go to sort of access your Centrelink payments, your welfare payments, crashed under the pressure. And for a while there, the government was saying that actually it was hacked, you know, it was doxed. But it hadn't. It was just not used to, I think there was, 55,000 people trying to access it on one particular day. But the federal government has stepped up and it has introduced these two sort of subsidies to, I guess, to try and keep people in work. So they're called Job Keeper and Job Seeker. So it's worth something like $130 billion dollars. And essentially what it does is, under Job Keeper, it kind of subsidizes the employees' wages, so up to $1,500 per fortnight to sort of keep people in work. So essentially, yeah, businesses are being paid to keep their employees, and then under Job Seeker, it would be like a payment for those people who have lost their jobs.
What are you working on right now?
What am I working on? That's a good question. I'm working on a story about why we like to read and watch and hear about stories about pandemics during a pandemic. So a lot of people are watching Contagion, a lot of people are watching Korean zombie flicks, and I just thought it was really interesting about, you know, why we turn to fictional, you know, stories about pandemics to get us through this experience, I guess, of shared trauma, to try and make sense of it. So that's what I'm working on. There was one other thing I wanted to mention too, just to give you a sense of how confused people are here. And I think this is just such a good example of how bizarre the rules are, right? So there's like a press conference nearly every day around, you know, one or midday. There are multiple ones a day, but that's when the Prime Minister speaks. And so I think it was last weekend that, you know, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, he was talking about how the rules were going to be tightened. And, you know, then we were given the four acceptable reasons to leave the house. And there were really strict rules on how many people could meet up together and what a family kind of looks like, in terms of, say, if a family was split between two houses, you're allowed to see each other, but did a boyfriend or girlfriend count as family? Like, say you're with a partner, but you're not living together yet. Like, what do you do? People had a lot of questions about that. So on Monday, so that was on the weekend, we heard that from our Prime Minister. On Monday, we had the Victorian Premier saying that having friends over for dinner, you know, if you do that and they're not members of your house, it's breaking the law. And then we had on Tuesday, we had our police minister tweeting that you cannot visit your partner for social reasons. Which people were really shocked about. And then there was a bit of an outcry, you know. And then on Wednesday afternoon, we had the chief health officer, and all of this is playing out on Twitter. And then on Wednesday, there was a complete backflip. The chief health officer said that partners not living together could actually see each other, you know, and that they were making an exemption and they hope that that helps. So now if you've got a partner, you can visit them, but you shouldn't apparently get close to them. So that means that you're not allowed to physically touch. Just like, how are they going to police it? Like, is the police minister going to be watching from some window?
Oh, goodness. Oh, Emma. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. And keep safe, okay?
You too.
Thanks a lot.
Emma Nobel is an Australian reporter who spent a summer working with us in the KELW newsroom. She spoke to me from Ballarat, Australia. Find a link to her stories at kalw.org.